Chapter 6
Dad!
A curious voice prodded at my awareness, and I groaned when my hangover throbbed mercilessly through my head.
Go away,
I mumbled, as I swatted away whoever was trying to wake me up.
It's my day off.
Dad, wake up!
Something nudged me in the ribs, and I finally cracked my eyes open.
Rylan?
I asked, as his face swam into view. Not a hangover, it seemed.
What happened?
I'm so sorry, Dad. I accidentally hit you in the head, and then you wouldn't wake up because you were in the Dark Realm, so we had to go get Mars so she could get me here because I couldn't focus and...
I held up a hand to stall his machine gun fire rapport, and then slowly sat up.
What?
I asked as I rubbed my eyes.
Did you just say you knocked me into the Dark Realm with your staff?
Yes?
He rubbed the back of his neck and gave me a sheepish grin.
Again, I'm so sorry. And like I said, I would have been here myself to come and get you, but you weren't making any noise, so I didn't know where to find you. And I was a little freaked out about what I did, so I couldn't really focus.
Yeah, you said.
I grunted as he helped me up to my feet.
Damn, kid. Good shot. I'll never doubt you again.
I'm sorry,
he repeated. And I nudged him with my shoulder so he knew he didn't have to feel guilty.
I'm proud of you, kiddo, I said, just for posterity's sake. And I'm sorry you were freaking out.
Mars told me you had an injury in your head she helped you fix,
he said.
And she explained more about the time I came to take her out of the Dark Realm with you. I tried to go back to find you at the time, but I was too exhausted. I can't believe I heard the code word, though.
Yeah, I said, as I glanced around the nondescript clearing and spied a few tall trees.
I thank you for that. Mars didn't know how to get back.
Hey, Rylan, are you able to travel between the clearings?
No, he said. I can see them in my canterfly form from above, but I can only enter a clearing if someone calls for me.
Interesting, I muttered.
Are you able to?
He asked with a curious tilt of his head. Turns out, yes. I grinned as I waggled my eyebrows.
Second question. Remember the sword you transformed last time we were here?
The mega awesome one with the purple handle?
He answered back.
That was the best!
Yeah, it was cool. And it turns out it's still in the Dark Realm, I said.
I stashed it in one of these clearings, and I wanted to ask you if you've ever been able to take anything out of the realm besides people. I bent down and picked up a small stone, tossed it up in the air, and then handed it to him.
I've never tried to do that before, he said, as he reached for the small stone.
It had a burnt orange pattern similar to a tiger's eye, and had a perfectly smooth divot in the center, perfect for worrying a thumb against.
I don't know what's required.
Well, how does it work when you manifest something? I asked. You visualize it, right?
I'll try to concentrate on keeping it with me when we leave, he said, as he slipped the trinket into his pants pocket. We should be soon, because Mom is a little worried.
Ha, okay, I said as I ruffled his hair.
You should probably fly us out of here in that case. I don't think I have time to meditate my way back.
All right, hang on,
he said, and closed his eyes. And then his form blurred and phased into the sandy blonde butterfly Pegasus form he was comfortable in when in the Dark Realm.
Still cool every time, I commented, and patted his flank.
He pranced in place with something like pride, and I got up on his back. Then he reared back on his hind legs and launched us both into the static white sky. I glanced over my shoulder and scanned the clearings for one in particular, and when I spotted it, I tugged on Rylan's mane.
Look, Rye. See that tall tree in the clearing down there?
Yaw!
Cantor Rye tossed his head when he saw what I meant.
That's the tree where I hid our sword,
I called over the rushing wind. Cantor Rye whistled again, and I laughed as he turned our ascent into a happy little upward spiral. And as the stark whiteness filled my vision, I could still feel the echo of laughter in the back of my throat. Before I came to in the clearing, with Zoe, Rylan, and Mars hovering over me.
He's fine.
Maz's sarcastic drawl greeted me as both she and Rylan helped me to my feet.
Good to see you, Maz, I said, and couldn't resist ruffling her short blue locks. She growled and hissed at me like a wet alley cat, and I couldn't help but laugh. Thanks, by the way. Rye told me he needed your assistance.
Yeah, it was no problem,
she said with a nonchalant sniff that was trying way too hard to be nonchalant. And the faint blush on her scaled cheeks gave away the fact she must have been at least a little pleased with the gratitude.
Just be careful next time.
You bet, I said with a wink.
The rock!
Ryland suddenly gasped as he searched his pockets.
It's gone!
Oh, that's okay, bud, I said. I didn't expect you to get it on the first go.
I'll keep practicing, he sighed.
Practicing what?
Zoe asked, as she peered into my face and checked my head for any more damage.
I think we're done with practice for the time being.
No, Mom. We mean practice with the Dark Realm, Ryland explained. I'm going to try to bring something back.
Really?
She asked, and then she turned her astute sapphire gaze onto her kit and scrutinized him like she did with me.
Is that safe?
Probably,
he shrugged. And Zoe's eyes narrowed even more before they slid over to me. I cleared my throat. Now, Rye, make sure you don't overdo it, okay? Actually, let's make a rule. You're not allowed to try anything larger than that stone. Once you can do that successfully...
3 times,
Zoe interjected. 3 times, I added dutifully. Yay, parenting. After that, we'll see about bigger stuff.
What, like sticks?
He scoffed sarcastically and glanced at Maz like he'd just said the joke of the year. The lizard girl simply blinked at him with an unimpressed-looking stare. Yes, sticks, I said as I arched a single eyebrow. Is that okay with you, Your Highness? My tone conveyed just how unimpressed I was as well with his snark, and he lowered his eyes with a contrite grin.
Sticks are fine, he said agreeably.
Good, I snorted.
Glad that's sorted,
Maz said, as if she had remotely anything to do with the so-called sorting.
Hey, Rylan, want to fly in the squalors with me?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He perked up and turned his wide eyes on the both of us.
Can I?
Just please be careful.
Zoe relented under the full blast of his puppy dog eyes.
Will do,
he nearly hollered. And then he practically ran out of the clearing with the blue-haired lizard girl. Good goddess, I huffed as I blew my bangs out of my face. We'd better follow them.
Agreed,
Zoe said, but she didn't make any other moves to follow them as she continued to eye me uncertainly.
Are you sure you're all right? He definitely got you good, but I didn't think it was that serious until you wouldn't respond.
I'm sorry, love, I said as I kissed her on the cheek. I'm perfect, I promise.
What distracted you so much?
She asked me. Hmm? I cocked my head in her direction. What do you mean?
I saw it just before Rylan struck you,
she explained.
Something distracted you from the task at hand.
I thought back a bit about what had happened before my lights went out, and I suddenly remembered a little detail I almost forgot. Oh, right, I said as I looked around the clearing. I heard a woman screaming. What was that all about?
There was no woman screaming,
Zoe said as she peered curiously at me. There wasn't? I frowned. Now that I was reminded of it, I definitely heard a woman scream. Are you sure?
Positive,
she said, and glanced upward at her velvet ears. Right, well, then it must have been in my head, I said, even though I didn't believe that was the case. But who could argue with a Varthan warrior's impeccable hearing? So I filed it away to examine at a later time and extended my hand to her. Shall we go back to the manor? My cat wife nodded and tucked her arm in the crook of my elbow. And the two of us strolled back to the airship where we parted ways, her to find Mr. Jenner and me on my quest to find Amaya. There was no rush, however. Even though I'd had my bell rung by Rylan, I felt a lot more centered by letting out some steam. So when I actually ran into Amaya, I was less impatient and frustrated and more open to whatever she might say. When I finally found her, she wasn't really hiding exactly. But she'd sequestered herself on the uppermost floor where it seemed like a plant menagerie was the theme, almost like a rooftop garden on the top of a high-rise apartment building. The Oryx woman sat under a modest tree with her back against the trunk and her knees tented upwards so she could rest her chin on top.
You found me,
Amaya said with a sad smile as she gazed up at me with her rain-colored eyes. So you were avoiding me, I said, as I arched an eyebrow and folded my arms across my chest.
Maybe a little bit,
she admitted sheepishly.
I can feel your ire even now that it has been tempered. I'm sorry.
Do you know why I'm frustrated? I asked.
No, but I can guess,
she whispered.
There is but one thing I have ever kept from you.
I sighed and sat down on the ground next to her. You could have died.
I know.
She shrugged a little and hugged herself tighter. What were you thinking? I finally asked. And I tried to keep my voice steady so the quaking I felt inside wouldn't reveal itself. If you had actually... My throat closed off the rest of that sentence. The thought was too horrifying to complete.
But I didn't, Alex,
she reminded me, and gently pressed her shoulder into mine. It still doesn't escape the fact that you could have. And I would have had no idea what went wrong, I pointed out as I clenched my fist and pressed it into my thigh.
I can't explain it to you, Alex, but when I'm with you, I always know I'll be okay, no matter what,
she said as tears began to track down her cheeks.
Do you regret our time together?
No, I said, and whipped around to look at her. Never. I've loved every moment we've spent together. It was amazing being so close to you.
I feel the very same way,
she said after she exhaled a relieved breath. Now, imagine what it would have been like for me if you... If I had harmed you irreversibly, I said. I just need you to understand. Amaya lowered her eyes away from mine, and instead raised a hand so she could cup my cheek. I knew what she was doing, and because she wanted to know, I leaned into the overwhelming fear that left their impression on me whenever I thought of how much Amaya's harm should have been a surefire deal if Anwar was to be believed. The stab of horror I felt caused Amaya to gasp and tear her hand away from my face.
Oh, Alex!
She cried out and flung herself into my arms.
I'm so sorry.
Shh, I coaxed as I held her shaking body against mine. It's okay, Ames.
I feel so silly and selfish,
she sniffled as she continued to cling to me.
For an Augur woman and a prophetess, I tend to miss some things. Can you ever forgive me?
Flower, there's nothing to forgive, I said, as my own heart ached from the feedback of her guilt and shame. I just wanted you to understand.
I do, and I'm very sorry,
she repeated, and I tilted her chin up so I could press a kiss on her petal-pink lips. I think maybe Anwar is the one who could use some reassurance as well, I mentioned, and I felt Amaya stiffen in my arms.
Oh, my.
The Oryx woman sighed as she pulled away from me so she could resume hugging herself.
Yes, I can feel her distress.
We also discussed a few ways about how to get you out of the oath, I explained. It appears since nothing bad came out of our lovemaking like it should have, there's a chance you might not be the prophetess. A deep frown marred Amaya's face.
What do you mean? I've been dubbed so since I was born on the day of the renewing cycle. The circumstances of my birth even make it so.
I remember Gavlane telling me about how you were still in your mother's womb when she tried to drown herself in the ocean, I said, and reached for her hand.
That's one of the reasons why I thought I would be okay after we made love,
she said, and squeezed my fingers.
I thought I'd developed an immunity just because of how much I had to fight for my health when I was young. But yes, that is another factor into why the Order has demanded I take my place as prophetess. There are old prophecies written about a prophetess who comes from the ocean. She is to herald in a new age of prosperity for the people of Aventhal. Last I was aware of, not many births end up the way mine did.
The fact still remains I should have poisoned you, but I didn't. I pointed out the one salient fact I held on to. Unless there's a prophecy that talks about immunity from ocean overload, explain to me how you walked away totally fine.
I can't,
she said.
But prophecies are never completely literal. A lot of them are quite vague.
Exactly, I said with a smile. So who's to say your birth in particular, although extraordinary, is the one the prophecy's even talking about? Anwar seems to think there's a possibility you might not even be the prophetess in the first place.
But I...
Amaya frowned as she stopped herself, opened and closed her mouth a few times, and then tried again.
Well, I...
It's possible, right? I asked with bated breath, as the gears visibly turned in the Oryx woman's mind. You said it yourself, prophecies are vague.
I suppose I did,
she said, as a giddy smile slowly unfurled on her face.
I can't imagine such a thing. All my life, this has been my fate, and I've always been too afraid to picture it otherwise. But could it be true, Alex?
That is something I'm going to find out, I promised her, and placed a kiss in the center of her forehead. Stay hopeful, Sunflower. I love it when you smile that carefree smile. She sighed as she brought our lips together, and I was pleased to find her precious smile sweetened the flavor of the kiss. So I took the liberty of deepening it. Her body responded so beautifully to mine like it always did. And I would have loved to see where this was heading. But we were suddenly interrupted by a loud shriek as something exploded out of the tree above us.
Meep!
A black and blue flying lizard creature suddenly took the place of the large branch providing us with the shade and landed in front of us. Gelf! I yelled in surprise at the shape-shifting animal.
Skrrrrrr!
The familiar cawing of Rufus then followed up as the dusty yellow crow moth flapped down, landed in front of Gelf, and pecked her gently on the snout. Gelf's little eyes crossed as she stared at the tip of her square nose and snorted. Then the crow moth whipped around and took off as the lithe flying lizard gave a rowdy chase.
Were they just...
Amaya asked as she watched the two frolicking for a moment before they both dove back down the stairs to the interior of the airship. Playing tag? I finished for her. Well, it seemed like whatever they were doing, they were into. Rufus didn't even say hi to me. Rude. It's not like I've been away forever or anything.
I think he might fancy little Gelf.
The Oryx woman giggled.
You are quite right, my dear.
A craggy voice sounded from the spiral stairwell just before a set of furry gray ears appeared, followed by my trusty koala butler himself.
Rufus has been a bloody nightmare ever since he took a shine to that thing. I'm also guessing, since I was almost knocked off my feet by the pair of them, that Rufus didn't give you my note to meet me in the study.
Nope. I grinned and stood up along with Amaya. Sorry about that, Mr. Jenner.
It's not your fault, he grumbled. If it weren't for old Tovish, I would have RV'd cook him in a stew.
What did you need to talk to me about? I asked, as I tried to stop myself from chuckling at the peeved-off little man.
Yes, well, Jenner said as he tweaked his monocle. There are quite a few things of grave importance we must discuss, especially if you hope to survive tomorrow's double royal wedding.
Ah, well, that sounded ominous. Super.